If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat lost to a guy named Bolter. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same, but worse. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, if you want to live with that the rest of your life, no. Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's got to start here.
Knock him out the box.
Yes, yes, yes. It's about that time. Knock 'em out the box. We're back, kiddos. Episode 51. Yo, this Vinny Paz. I'm riding solo this time because my co-host with the Comos is on another vacation. Irish Billy, who knows what he's doing? So this is the Pazzy and Pablo, Knock 'em Out the Box, Episode 1, Cool Boy Steph, Nanyua In A Way, mini episode. You know, we couldn't let y'all down without giving you a breakdown of one of the, if not biggest, one of the best fights of the year. This is maybe so far in 2023, you know, for real boxing heads, this might be the fight that has been on everyone's mind the most. And how will this play out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Again, for most boxing fans, there's a lot of angles at play here. A huge one being that for us in America, the time, which is very early morning on a Tuesday, which needless to say is odd. For though it's in Tokyo, where Inoue is from, and he's a star there. I saw a lot of people from the US, a lot of people even from Europe, UK, Canada, wherever, complaining about this. Look, guys, this is prize fighting, okay? And in prize fighting, where is the money? Show me the money. Inoue is a legitimate star over there. Steph Fulton is not a star here in the US. You know, rarely in the U.S. are guys at these weight divisions stars. It takes something special. And while I think Steph is a special fighter, he's a relatively quiet kid, stays out of trouble, et cetera, et cetera. And unfortunately, here in America, maybe some in other places as well, but we sort of reward bad behavior. And Cool Boy Steph isn't one to play that game. So, yes, with that said, this will be held in Japan for y'all in the U.S., like myself, on the East Coast. There's no exact times being given yet. I'm hearing somewhere around 4:30 a.m., which would be when some of the undercards start. I'm hearing maybe looking towards 6:30, 7 a.m. for the main event. So, you know, if you're on the East Coast of the U.S., that's what you're looking at. For everyone else, you know, listening around the country and around the globe, I know we have fans on every continent, listeners on every continent. You gotta do the math. You know, it's looking like 6:37 a.m. East Coast time here for the main event. Ryobisi Ramirez is on the card, so I definitely want to catch that because I like him as well. But yeah, guys, I'm flying solo. You know, gonna do my best. I'm sorry about the audio quality. I don't know how to record properly. That's why Irish Billy's for. And again, I'm riding solo without my partner B. This guy's on another vacation. You know, this guy's living the life while I'm over here working. So with all of that said, I'm gonna do my best to hold it down. You know, for this episode, hopefully I won't be dolo again because it's very difficult. To do this without my guys, you know? So Let's talk about this fight a little bit, right? Look, unified junior featherweight. Stephen Fulton, 21-0, 8 knockouts. Not a lot of power. The kid is a Philly fighter through and through, if you've seen him stylistically. Very tough. While I know that James Toney is not a Philadelphia fighter, if you listen to the podcast often, you know that James Toney is one of my all-time favorite fighters. And I see a lot of that in Cool Boy Steph. Lights Out had more power, but I see a lot of the ability to fight inside and outside, the angles, et cetera, et cetera. On the other side is former undisputed bantamweight and three-weight world champion, the Monster Inoue, 24-0, 21 KOs, guys. Inoue is moving up to fight Fulton for these titles. Look, I'm not sure that B and I talked about this when the fight got announced. I'm not sure if I have talked to any of you guys about it when we speak on social media, but something that should be talked about and should be talked about much more, and they should be, look, props should be heaped upon these guys for this. And that is the fact that this wasn't ordered by any of these sanctioning bodies. These guys were both like, yo, let's dance. I think I'm the best. The Monster mentioned going up, possibly going up. And Steph was like, you want to come up? You got to see me. Nobody, you know, so this isn't one of those fights that we had to wait for someone to be this guy's mandatory and play all those games that we talk about in every episode and the politics of the sport that we all hate. So a round of applause for these guys for doing this, for getting in there to prove who's the best, you know? And this is what guys used to do. This was something that was the norm, whereas now you can have a guy like Tank who people will seriously tell you when they look at even the knock him out the box pound for pound list, and we don't have Tank on there. And people will say, you're crazy. I don't respect any list without Tank. And you're talking about a kid with a bunch of fights that's not a kid anymore, that still hasn't fought anyone. And it's amazing to me that you can get over with that, because seemingly his power is real. People here like knockouts. I was going to say people in America like knockouts, but people everywhere like knockouts. And if you're giving them eye candy, it appears to me that you don't have to knock good fighters out for people to think you're great. Because that's how it is when it comes to a guy like Tank, you know, where to me, if you look at him, his best win is over Sniper Pedraza, however many years ago that was, 6, 7, I don't even know. So your best win is that long ago? And people think you're a pound for pound guy. It's crazy, man. It really brings back, you know, the adage that is played out at this time, but it's still funny when you think about Roger saying it, is you don't know shit about boxing. So look, Cool Boy Steph, y'all guys know where I stand on Philly fighters, you know, and it'll appear to be that, you know, this is going to be a hometown episode of the show. But also, you guys got to remember that I'm the same guy that is not a fan of Danny Garcia, is not a fan of Gabe Rosado. So I don't just ride for guys from Philly, but when a great fighter is Philly, I'm more than proud. The ironic thing is he never fights here. Steph hasn't fought in Philly since 2015. Or in 8 years, he's been the road warrior. Ironically, they were all in the States, out of town. He's never fought outside the U.S., which is interesting. It's, you know, I wonder how that will play into things. And, you know, you can question also, Steph got to Japan last week. I'm not sure about that. I might have gone a few weeks earlier to acclimate myself. That's just me. Lennox Lewis was fucking around when he fought Rahman in Africa and played around. Rahman didn't play around. Rahman went there mad early. I think at least a month, maybe a couple months. And Lennox showed up, not much time to get acclimated to everything. Everything, the culture, the food, the water, the air, where you're at, you know, in terms of the ability to adjust your breathing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Personally, if I was Cool Boy Steph and his team, I would have went there minimum 2 weeks, maybe as much as three. So yeah, guys, look, let's talk about the fight a little bit. Look, you saw fight Steph Fulton, Cool Boy Steph in the Figueroa fight. Figueroa's fight and beat him. He fought on the inside with a guy who can punch. Fulton can't really punch. But again, the James Toney shit on the inside. He uses his body expertly to get advantage and limit a guy's ability to land clean shots. And you don't want to get hit with the clean shot from the monster. You're talking about a guy who's sparking people out. Will Inoue's power, so look, let's really talk about, will Inoue's power continue to carry with him? You're talking about a guy who turned pro at 108, okay? So you go to your 108, you go to 112, you go to 115, you go to 118. Eventually, unless you're Pacquiao, who, as B and I have said, we have doubts. Again, this is just speculation whether or not he did all of that naturally, going from a guy that started at whatever it was, 105, 108, and ending up being a monster knocking out big welterweights. It just doesn't happen. It's never going to happen again, and it really didn't happen before that. So is his power going to continue to go with him as he moves up? That's a huge factor, because if it does, it's going to change when he gets when Fulton gets touched. When Fulton gets touched early, right? That's going to dictate how he fights the rest of the fight, right? Would I be right saying that? He gets cracked with something and says, all right, yeah, of course this guy hits hard. We all know that. All of us, we all know that. Okay. But what does that mean? There's scales. There's this guy hits hard, but I can take this, you know. My punch resistance is ready for this. I can deal with this. He scored, look, in 8 of his 9 fights at 118, he got knockouts. And in the one that he didn't score a knockout, he knocked down Nonito Donaire. So he had 9 fights there, and someone went down in all 9 of them. That's at 118. 118 to 122, that's a big leap, but let's just talk, this guy's power is real, okay? So look, he's still gonna pop. He's still gonna have pop in his hands at 122. Let's make no mistake about that. It's just okay. It is devastating, where you know a guy is concussed. You know, a guy is done. He's concussed. So yeah, look, we should just establish the fact that yes, he's still going to have power, and the question is, will all of it carry up? You know, that's where we're at with that. All right, so we established that, all right? He's going to be dangerous, okay? No doubt about that. Like I said, I think early, Fulton will feel what the power is. That doesn't mean it has to be a clean shot on the chin. Has to land for him to know that, you know? These are guys who are at the highest level of the sport with the highest IQs. He could get touched on the arm, on the body, on the shoulder. He can block a punch and know, okay, I know what this guy has, and here is how I'm going to fight him. Because he can fight from the outside and the inside. It's going to be very interesting. I think if he gets tagged by something and hurt, you might be seeing a Fulton that's fighting off the back foot and boxing, which which I'm about to say next, comes into play. He's got a 3-inch reach advantage. Okay? Look, we know Steph has 21 fights and only 8 knockouts. Okay? Look, essentially, what are we looking at there? 35%, 38%. I don't know. I'm bad at math. But that's he doesn't have any real power. And, of course, Inoue is shown to have a sturdy chin, you know, of course. The thing about Steph, though, he's physical. Like I said, he uses his body. He will take advantage. He will figure out ways to use his body to limit guys from scoring. Look, he fought Leo and Figueroa, and he fought them on the inside, right? And he was the one giving angles and finding ways to land shots by creating angles right in front of them. Again, another James Toney reference. Would stand there with you and make you miss in front of him by using angles. Brilliant fighter. I'll be curious to ask Steph, are you a James Toney fan? Do you watch his tapes? Did you emulate that style? Because, you know, all these younger guys try to emulate Floyd, which ends up in a disaster because you can't. But the stuff Toney did can be taught. It's not anymore, certainly not by gyms or trainers. But, yeah. So is he going to, again, the biggest question here for me is what type of fight is Fulton going to fight? If he chooses to box with a 3-inch advantage and just pop from the outside and work, make Inoue come to him and try to counter him when he comes in, boop, boop, hit him with something and then get out of there, that could be a way to win. But the thing is, look, Steph's feet are good, but that doesn't mean Inoue is slow, because he's not. He figures out ways to get into position and into range, anyway. Reminds me of Golovkin in that sense, where you don't see, okay, yo, this guy's fast. I don't feel like I'm looking at a really fast guy. You know, at times, Golovkin could look downright slow, if we're being honest. But then this guy is cutting off the ring masterfully and always seems to be in range to land something. So that really is just IQ. He's an expert at that, at getting into range. As far as athletic ability here, man, to me, Steph is leaps and bounds. He moves better. He can move for 12 rounds. He's proven that. He has to, because he can't crack. Excuse me. Look, Cool Boy's feet they're better. He has a size advantage. So what does Inoue do? Look, in that situation, he's going to have to eat some shots to get in there and land the big shit. Fortunately for him, Steph doesn't have power. This is boxing. This is a situation where there are perfect punches. And a guy can get you out of there. It's happened before. As a matter of fact, a guy I don't even like, Caleb Plant, to me, doesn't have any semblance of real power, and he short-circuited Durrell. So, you know, you can't sleep on something like that happening. Do I think it will? Absolutely not. But this is boxing. This is why they fight the fights, right? Look, the thing, anyway, he's going to have to eat some shots, in my opinion. But if he reaches in and lunges, he's going to get clipped. Uppercuts are there when guys do that. You know, when a shorter guy does that to try to land some shit or get in, you know, a smart guy, and Steph's very smart, will rip an uppercut. Steph's lack of power is to Inoue's advantage in this situation. It's a situation where Steph's got to be good for 3 minutes of all 12 rounds because of that destructive power. He could be doing great, fighting well, pitching a shutout, and the 10th get caught and short-circuited. You know, that was the danger of fighting guys like a Tyson, where a guy like Franz Bolter, who had no business, you know, beating Mike Tyson, was absolutely beating him until he got, you know, short-circuited with that right hand. So Steph's got to be aware of that. And if things start seeming easy to him and the fluidity is there, he and his corner have to constantly remind him, yo, this guy's dangerous with 12, you know, and he's a puncher. So it's really a situation of, you know, I think at times, Inoue is going to have to sell out to land some big shit, which I don't think he's scared to do because, you know, again, Steph doesn't have that power to prevent him from doing that. He's going to second guess and say, oh, I'm not going to do that again. You know, there are guys who punch historically and they get put in that box, and make no mistake, Inoue is a puncher, but he's all to me, what's more impressive than the power is the accuracy. The accuracy and the precision. He doesn't load up on shots. He seems to set things up and let the big punches open themselves up for him rather than force them. In all the times I watched him fight, I've never felt like this guy's forcing this. If that makes any sense. He throws combinations too. So a lot of guys that could crack historically in the history of the game would throw one punch shots, you know, so, like someone like Wilder just, you know, jumps to mind. It's always one shot. And that's how you can beat them. Because if you either have the punch resistance to absorb the shot or make him miss the shot, then you're in trouble. That's not the case here with this guy. He's throwing 3, 4, 5, 6 punches at you, all with deadly intentions. And one of them is going to land, you know, if he gets in range to do so. He's got good feet. I was talking about Steph's feet and that he moves better and the speed and whatnot are better. But again, another comparison, like you look at Golovkin as this plodding guy, or you look at Chavez as this plodding guy, but their feet were good. They had educated feet. So no, it's not flashy. You're not seeing Lomachenko footwork, you know, but it doesn't have to be that for it to work. And a lot of that has to do with how good his balance is and the fact that he doesn't waste movement. These are all things that it's tough to deal with. It's tough to deal with. He doesn't telegraph his movement. And again, he seems to be one of those guys that's always in a position to land a shot, like Lomachenko. And again, that's footwork. That's not necessarily speed. That's just always being smart enough to always be finding the right angles and being able to land some shit. And he does that, you know, whether he fires one power shot or rips off four, boop, 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 and then, you know, gets out of there. He's not really concerned what's coming back at him, for what it's worth. Whereas, you know, as a fighter, you should be. But it's hard to tell a guy, you know, with that record and that type of power, you know, you'll worry about what's coming back at you. I think that you start to think you're invincible. So Steph has to make him pay for that. And when I say make him pay, I don't mean by knocking him out. I mean making him pay by landing clean shit in return, you know, because look, this is boxing. This is hit and don't get hit. You know, people are looking for a knockout here from Inoue. But we're here talking about this fight, and you guys are listening to this fight because we, as boxing heads, know that it's not that simple. Oh, the knockout puncher goes in there and knocks a guy out. Yeah, usually, but not when the other guy is great. And that's why we're excited about this fight. And that's why we're all so happy that it got made and that they made it happen. So, yeah. Another element that's huge in every fight that you guys hear me talk about, I think it's abandoned by the younger generation, is body punching. Inoue is a good body puncher. He throws his fair share of shots to the body, that left hook to the body is, look, if that lands, man, it's Mickey Ward-esque. It's that can get you up out of there. I've seen him lead with that shot, which is, again, to me, that's dangerous. To me, that's dangerous. A lead shot to the body is, you know, a counter right. A left hook to the body, a counter right up top is right there for Steph. If he can time that. If Inoue decides to try to throw that as a lead, you know? I like it better when he ends the combination with it. Come up top, then go downstairs. I like that combination a lot. Again, okay, keep bringing it up about Steph's lack of power. That doesn't mean that he doesn't go downstairs. I think it's a little bit underrated, his body punching, and I think that is due to his lack of power, because people think of, when you think of a body puncher, you think of, oh yeah, well, I think of him as a body puncher because he got guys out of there like that. Mike McCallum, the body snatcher, Mickey Ward, Arturo Gatti, guys who went downstairs and got guys out of there, you know? So a guy that does great body work but doesn't necessarily get guys out of there might not get the credit for it. Steph will throw a bunch of different stuff down there. He'll jab. I love the jab. I love when guys throw that jab to their opponent's stomach. I love that punch. It'll drop a guy's hands just a little bit. And when you have fast hands, you know, you check them to the stomach with that jab, go pop, pop, come right back up top. It can work. It can work beautifully. It has worked beautifully. And especially for guys with fast hands, and Steph's got fast hands. He'll throw hooks down there. But yeah, you can look, he'll create distance with those shots too, Steph. He'll create distance with those body shots, which I think he should do. Problem there is, man, when you dedicate yourself to the body and you're ripping downstairs, up top is open for your guy, the other guy, and what's coming at you with the monster is not pretty. So again, you know, this is stuff these guys have to think about. This is why these guys get paid the big money, to figure out what, you know, if I go downstairs, here's the positives and here's the negatives of what could come back at me. Like I said, I like that. I like that jab to the body a lot. I think he should start off early with it, you know, stick him downstairs and see what it does and see how he reacts. See how Inoue reacts. Does he start dropping his hands a little bit, thinking something else is coming, like a hook to the body? Does he drop a little bit and you can land a boop, boop, boop up top and get out of there? Cause, you know, Steph is a great inside fighter. If that's where he wants to be, you know, again, he's got to go James Toney on him, where he's picking off those shots and giving angles. Because if you're giving him the perfect distance on the inside, or even mid-range, like, I don't want him to be there. I don't want Steph at mid-range at any point during this fight. Either use the 3-inch reach advantage and stay on the outside. And if you're gonna engage with him, stay close on the inside. I do not want to see any mid-range fighting from Cool Boy Steph. If I'm in your way, I'm loving it. If he gives me anything at mid-range, I'm loving it. He's eating people's food. Anyone that's fought there at mid-range, you're done. It's you're donezo. I think body work may be important, guys, for either guy. I think Steph should really try that out, though, and see what happens early on. Stick the jab to the body. Keep doing that. Keep sticking the jab to the body. And if it's getting him places, then put something behind it downstairs. Then come back up top. If he's at all dropping his hands because of that shot, it just doesn't like it. It's bothersome. No one likes it to the body, man. You know, it just is what it is. Trust me, guys. If you sparred, you know, and been hit to the body, it shit is not fun. So that, to me, that's very important for Steph to keep him honest with some body work. Again, the danger is what's coming back up top. Steph has superb reflexes and an ability to pick shots off. So he's going to have to do that because something big's coming back. So that's how I that's what I think these guys have to do. That's game plans that I think these guys have to implement that would suit them. That said, Cool Boy Steph has to be great for 36 minutes. Inoue has to be great for the amount of time it takes him to get off a combination or maybe one shot. And that makes it interesting. That alone. I'm also not sleeping on Inoue's ability to box. It's not like he's just a puncher. He's proven he can go the distance and beat guys. He's done it a few times. Has he done it against a guy on this level? Absolutely. He's not fought anyone like Cool Boy Steph. To be fair, Cool Boy Steph hasn't fought anyone like Inoue. At the end of every show, we give predictions. This guy's, you know, on a fucking yacht somewhere on vacation, this big. But he managed to throw me a freebie and give me a prediction. So I'm gonna read B's prediction that he texted me, while he's out, wherever he is, on some sort of yacht eating caviar or whatever it is that he does with all that money, you know, that he's making from this Knock 'Em Out the Box podcast. I've been proud to bring you an episode without his bad accents also. B's prediction, this is B, verbatim. Fulton by razor-thin decision. I don't have the fight that close, though. I think Fulton should focus on frustrating him to the body. Pity pat inside. Stab to body outside. Inoue is like an avalanche, though. If he gets momentum, it just builds and he begins to overwhelm his opponent. I think Steph weathers the storm and stays composed and uses his natural size advantage and superior defense to win. Guys, I actually copied and pasted that text and did not see his comments about the body. It says a lot about our shared boxing mind, I'll tell you that much. We're friends for a reason, and we share 99.9 of the same views on boxing for a reason. That's why he's my guy and I love him. But I swear to God, guys, I didn't. The only thing I saw is when he sent me the thing and I saw Fulton by razor thin decision. So I just copied and pasted it and sent it to myself to write it down. It's amazing that we both think that Steph doing body work is very important for him. So B thinks it's Steph by razor thin decision. Hey, I think that Cool Boy Steph wins relatively convincingly 8-4. And gets robbed in Japan. I think he wins 7-8 rounds and gets robbed in Japan. If he's as good as I think, he might win 9. I'm not happy to say this, guys. It doesn't make me happy to say that. We've said this before going back. If you guys used to watch my fight videos before I had the podcast, I would just post them on Instagram and on my Vinny Paz YouTube. I said in the first Golovkin Canelo fight, I said Golovkin's going to win 8 rounds and get hosed. My card had him winning 8 rounds and getting hosed, and 99% of the world saw it the same way. Golovkin winning 7 or 8 rounds and getting hosed. And I wasn't happy about that either, that prediction. But I could lie to you and say, okay, this is what's going to happen. In a way, he's going to win a decision, which I think will happen, but I have to add that I think it's going to be foul. So my opinion is that Inoue gets a decision and a give decision in Japan, and that Steph boxes beautifully and wins the fight to us. You know, we see him win and we wait for those cards to come in and they're wonky. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that what I'm saying happens and that he gets the decision. If I'm correct, they got to run it back in the U.S. I'm just putting that out there. That if I am correct and he gets robbed, it's going to, you know, if he gets robbed, then everyone says, hey, you got robbed and you got to run it back. You know, both of them, well, Steph's going to want that, and the people are going to force Inoue's hand to run it back. Bring it over here. You have to. You have to. So, yeah, guys, yo, I hope you enjoyed the mini episode. My apologies for the for the audio. I'm bad at this stuff. That's why I got my guys always holding me down. Irish Billy. Hopefully Pablo's helping me with this. Hopefully he can get it to the point where, you know, it's at least listenable for you guys and enjoyable. You can write us at keotbboxing@gmail.com. Any and all questions and comments. B is I_no_that_kid on Instagram. I'm Boxcutter Pazzy on Instagram. I'm @Vinny_Paz on Twitter. B is the killer B something, but it's a number that I forget. If you want to knock them out the box shirt, go to jmtstore.com. And yeah, thank you for listening, guys. We wanted to make sure we did an episode for this show. And because, you know, B is a high roller and he's on another vacation and his Irish Billy's drunk in an alleyway somewhere, me and Pablo had to put it together for you. So we'll see you soon for the next episode, the Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford episode coming up ASAP. Peace. Knock him out the box, pass. Knock him out.